foot in the front.
Oh, good. See, it's in there.
Thanks, God.
In the beginning.
Well, it's good to see everybody this morning, and I'm blessed to share the word with you. I'm calling this the Heart Full of Grace. I'd like to start off with perhaps you guys remembering something. Like the first time that you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord. Just think about that. I still remember, so I'm sure everybody in here remember. But I'm going to tell you about the first time I did that, okay? I was thinking, I'm pretty smart. Right on. I'm really proud, man. I just confessed Jesus as my Lord. I am rocking. This is the coolest thing I've ever done. I'm so awesome. I'm getting water baptized. I just can't wait. I was 9 years old. Now, the reason I share that is because when I confessed Jesus as my Lord, I went through this little process after vacation Bible school. Do you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord? Do you love Him with your heart? Yeah, I do. Do you believe that He died? Yeah, I know He died. Do you believe that God raised Him up from the dead? And I said, yeah, I believe that. And she said, where is He? I said, who? She said, Jesus. I said, in heaven with God. She said, okay. I was then cleared to be water baptized because I confessed Jesus as my Lord. Now, do I believe that I got born again in that moment? Absolutely. Because I did believe He was my Lord. I understood what lordship meant because I had the kind of dad that had rules. You know? And so you follow the rules, and Jesus Christ was the guy I wanted to follow. So at 9 years old, I was born again. But did I have a clue of what I really had? Not a chance. Not a chance. I didn't manifest and speak in tongues until I was 28 years old. That's the first time I manifested. That's in my life, 1975, when I first started to really learn the truth about God's Word and the great intimate relationship we can have with God and His Word. And I really believe, and I don't think you guys would disagree with this, is that is probably the greatest change that can ever happen in a person's life. They accept Jesus Christ as their Lord. And in that moment of time, you know, you receive Holy Spirit. You may not understand what you're getting. That is what is so cool about God. Romans 10, 9, and 10, it doesn't say, you know, if thou shalt believe in your heart, you know, confess Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you understand every little detail of what that means, then you are born again. You're saved. It doesn't say that, does it? No, because God knows us so personally, so individually, that He is going to work with us where we're at. No matter when that happens in our lives, whether you're 9 years old or 80 years old, to get us where He needs us to be in this journey with Him. And that is one of the most loving, most gracious thing that God does for us. He puts that Spirit of God in Christ in us when we confess our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gives us this new nature. Look at Ephesians. We're going to go to chapter 2. In Ephesians. Some of you guys get blessed thinking about when you first got born again. I mean, we were, especially when I was 28 and I started to realize what I really had. I was so excited. I was so thrilled. It was almost unbelievable to me, this great gift that God gave to me. Because when I grew up in the church, I believed there was a God. And I believed in Jesus Christ, my Lord. And they taught this stuff about Holy Spirit, but they didn't really teach much. They just said it was the Holy Ghost. And I remember being young, and I grew up in a Trinitarian church. Don't ask me how I missed it, but I never believed Jesus Christ was God, although my church was Trinitarian. I always believed there was God. Then there was his son, my Savior, that he sent. And then there was this thing called Holy Ghost, and I wasn't sure I really wanted to know too much about that, because I really kind of like, Holy Ghost? There's got to be something really... I'm probably not going to go there, but that, you know, that's how it was in my mind until I got in a class called Power for Abundant Living and began to understand and learn what God really gave me. In Ephesians 2, did everybody get there yet? I'm going to restart in verse 1. And you, he hath made alive who were dead in trespass and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he, God, might show his exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. What an amazing gift. What an amazing God. I really want to look at this little section right here where it starts in verse 7 that says, in the ages to come. We're still in the ages that are coming, right? But in the ages to come, God might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. God is a God of grace. That's part of God, right? And when he put his Holy Spirit in us, you know what? He put that same grace in our hearts. God gave us a new heart, a new nature. We weren't like this. We were children of wrath. But in the new birth, we have a new nature. We have a new life. We have a new purpose. We have a new heart. Our heart is changed by God. Only God can change the heart of a man or a woman. He's the only one that can make that change in our heart. But we have to decide on a daily basis. For me, sometimes moment by moment. Other times, not so moment by moment. I hang in there for a while. We have to realize what that grace means in our life. And we want that nature, that new nature of grace in our new heart, to be what is manifested to the people that we daily deal with. Daily. You know? So that would start in your own home, right? With each other, with your husband, your wife, your kids, your roommates, your brothers, your sisters, the people you work with. This new nature that God put in us, this new heart, is full of grace. And it gives us some abilities. It gives us the ability to forgive like God does. It gives us the ability to give each other the benefit of the doubt. It's a heart full of grace. And that's what I want my heart to be full of, is grace. Because whatever our heart is full of, our life is going to manifest. And that is just what the Word says. You know, and this new heart isn't this thing that's beating inside my body. Okay, it's not the old man nature thing, my mind that I used to think with. It's a new mind. It's the mind of Christ. It's the heart of Christ. It's where God works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. He put all that in there, guys. It's our responsibility to take care of it. And how do you take care of this new heart? How do you practically take care of your new heart so that it manifests the grace of God, just like God has manifested His grace towards us? How do we do that? Because this heart is the part where God works with you. He works with your emotions. He works with how you feel. He works with the things that are important to you. Because that part of your heart holds your thoughts and emotions. And I mean your thoughts. I mean, I think we got to talk about thoughts here today. Not your reaction. There's a big difference between a reaction and what you think. Our thoughts are something that we expose our lives to, and we think about them. We dwell upon them. We consider them. We meditate on them sometimes, our thoughts. Sometimes our thoughts do not line up with God's Word, right? Okay, there you go. Hint, if it doesn't line up with God's Word, don't spend your time thinking about it. We all get little thoughts like, you know, I think I want to take a trip. Nah, probably not a good time. You better not take a trip. Done. Over. And then there's a time when you think something. It's like, you know what? I think I'm going to take a trip to see Josh and Jamie. So if I'm going to do that, then I'm going to have to think about this. And then you start to work with your thoughts and you plan something. You dwell upon it. You think about it. You consider it. That's the thoughts I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a passing thought. I'm talking about something that our minds dwell upon. What do you feed your mind? What do you allow your mind to think on? I mean, these are some really important areas in our walk, because we have this wonderful new nature that God has given us. And I'm not teaching anybody here that doesn't probably already know a lot of what I'm saying. But sometimes when you've had something for a long time, you take it for granted. And you don't realize the importance of putting time into something you may have learned, like I learned 42 years ago. But when I did this teaching and I started thinking about some of this stuff recently, God really showed me, you know what? You can never know too much about what I taught you 45 years ago, 42 years ago. This is my word. How is the fruit in your life? That tells you where you need to go in my word. I mean, that's what he shared with me when we were talking. I want to go to Proverbs. Because I think we need to look at a couple areas here. And one of the areas is the heart. And the other area, what we talked about, is our thoughts. Because what is in our heart, the thoughts we carry there are what's going to come out in the fruit of our life. And we want to have a heart full of grace. You know, I used to think when I was young Christian, first really learning some of the depth of God's Word, because I didn't even know what grace was when I got born again. I was just like an excited little girl. I used to think grace was something where I blew it, and God said, that's cool. No consequences. Love you. Move on. And you know what? That is part of grace. But that is just the teeny tiny bit of grace that fills your whole heart. Because God gave us this heart so that that spirit of grace and heart that He put in us can be manifested to others. And if we don't understand how that works in our lives, and it's pretty hard to really manifest it, you know, because you just don't know how to take care of it. So I want to look at how we should take care of our hearts for a few scriptures here. So go to Proverbs chapter 4.
Verse 20. My son, give attendance to my words. Now that, give attention is what my translation says. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. I want to go to verse 20 and look at the word give attention. That word is better and can be translated, give deliberate consideration to my words. Incline your ear. Incline means to open it up with great attention so that you're hearing what is being said. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Now, what is it that he doesn't want us to let depart from our eyes? His word. Okay, so there's a hint. How am I going to guard my heart so that it can produce this great amount of love and grace like God wants us to? Well, here's a clue. The word, the scriptures. Spend time in the word. Spend time reading the word. I don't care if you've heard a teaching about believing 450 million times. I know that's a stretch, but okay, let's say 450 times. That's not a stretch. And God puts it on your heart to look at believing in his word. Do it. Because he's got something new to teach your heart. See? So he wants us to keep our eyes in his word. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Where's the midst of your heart? It's at the very center of where you make decisions because of the thoughts you are thinking. That's the midst of your heart because your action, think about Eve, started with words, which started with thoughts. Then it equaled action. Remember, she's in the garden hanging out. Lucifer comes, Satan, devil, whatever you want to call him. And he starts to question her. Did God really say? Words. Well, God said this. Did she think about it? Not from the evidence that produces from that scripture, she didn't really think about it. She immediately considered what he said and started responding. She didn't stop and hold in her heart the word of God. I said, wait a minute. Well, he did say we could, but he said we, and then she got that wrong, right? So when God wants us to keep his words in the midst of our heart, he wants us to consider, what are we thinking? You know, and he wants us to have our hearts open to him. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life. Oh, there's a reason? Oh, yeah, good one. They are life to all their flesh. I'm sorry, they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. That word diligent means an extra amount of serious considering, which takes time. And you hold that in your heart with all diligence. You don't let anybody talk you out of it. That's why it's got to be the thoughts that you hold in the center of your heart, where God works with you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Because we all know our flesh is still flesh. I mean, I would like to say when we get born again, we don't have flesh anymore like that. We do. It is a spiritual battle. The adversary wants to rob us of the love of God, the grace of God, the mercies of God, the things of God, and shut us down. That's him. That's what he does. But God is so much greater than that. And it is so important what we allow our minds to dwell upon, because that's what's going to be in the center of our heart. And that's what's going to come out. And if we do it right, if we do it with diligence, and diligence, I think, in a practical sense, you know, it takes more than just 10 minutes a day with God. It takes more than just looking at a couple of verses. You know? Our salvation, our grace, our lives are not because of our works. It's because of the works of Jesus Christ. That's why we have salvation. That's why we have eternal life.
But for us to live the greatness of what God has given us, we have to be diligent. We have to be diligent with the things that God has so freely given to us and not take it for granted. And not think, oh, well, it's just a thought, no big deal, no difference. Oh, yeah, they're big deals, especially the ones you dwell upon. But man, God has given us such a great book here with so many positive things and so many things that can help the grace be built in our own hearts. It's just, it's an amazing thing. So keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Your big decisions are going to come from your heart. And if your heart isn't nurtured and diligently taken care of, you might not make such wise decisions. Been there, done that. Learned. Yes. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issue of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. And I know God's talking about His Word here. That's our path, His Word. That's where we need to keep our eyes. That's where we need to keep our heads straight, is right into God's heart. And the Word is His heart. And you know what? Then when we have time where we just sit with God and He works within our spirit and He shares things with us, and you know, some people write them in a journal and some people don't, and some people write them on cards, and I mean, it's just how God works with you. But what you want when you're spending time with your Heavenly Father, what we want is that special time where He teaches us, He enlightens us, and we feel that pureness of His love and His grace. That is what we want growing in our heart, right? Because it is, it's what gets us through the day. I believe it starts with two things, two major things. These are just parts, but I really believe it starts with humility before the Father. And then the other word, obedience. A lot of people don't like to hear that word obedience. Somehow it's gotten to have a negative connotation, but it really isn't. Look at Proverbs 11. We're just going to look at a few verses where God talks about humility, faithfulness, and obedience. So flip over a few pages to Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with humility, with humbleness, is wisdom. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with humble or humility is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. You know, unfaithfulness is like disobedience. If we're not obedient to the Word, can we be faithful? No. Because part of being faithful is being obedient to the Word. You can't really separate the two very much. Look at Proverbs 13. We're talking about humility. And the opposite of humility is pride. So that's why I picked some of these verses. Because a pride, stubborn man or woman or child will not learn. So, verse 10, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So what God says, turn to 16, Proverbs 16. These are just a few to you guys. There's tons of this. These kind of little glimpse of God's wisdom and God's heart for us in Proverbs. And it really is a great book to refresh yourself in from time to time. Okay, Proverbs 16, we're going to start in verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide spoils with the proud.
He who heeds words wisely will be good, and whosoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. What does this say? A thankful heart is a happy heart? A heart that trusts in God is a happy heart too. And that's who we have to trust in. That's who works within us, is God. He's the one who works within us to will to do of what? His good pleasure. You know, once you get born again of God's Spirit and you begin to grow as a Christian, it's not about you any longer, is it? It's not about what I want. It's not about when I want to do something necessarily. It's not about what I like. It's not about me and is it convenient or not convenient. I have a new nature. And that new nature of Christ, it was never about Christ to him, was it? It was about making known his Father. It was about leading people to the repentance so that they could have a relationship with God. That's the new creation in me. So now I have to think about other people, you mean? Yeah. Well, you don't have to. But you're not going to be very happy. You're not going to have a happy heart if you continue to walk in that old man nature. And we don't have to, you guys. We do not have to walk in that. Look in chapter 22, still in Proverbs. We'll go somewhere else, but we're going to look at a couple more. Proverbs chapter 22. Remember, obedience, humility. If you don't have that with your Father, you need to get back in touch with him. Very quickly, please. 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches in honor and life. Wow. Do you want riches in honor and life? Well, yeah, riches come in many different ways, not just money. But that's not bad either. God wants you to have an abundant life in all categories. But how do we get that? By our own works, our own thinking, our own ways? No. Humility and fear or reverence of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Wow. That's a pretty big promise there, guys, isn't it? 29. Our identity has to be in who we are in Christ. We have to understand who we are in Christ to manifest that Christ in us. It's there. The potential's there. The ability is there. God put it there, no doubt about it. But we have to steward the things of God. And you guys, that includes that Spirit that he put within us. The things that that Spirit can produce, you can't get it anywhere else. It doesn't come any other way. So we have to steward that and take care of it. And we need to stay humble before our God. Because I'm going to tell you, nobody knows it all yet. Except Jesus, and he got out of here a couple thousand years ago. But he sent the Holy Spirit so that we could still have his presence, his wisdom, his understanding. Gosh, you guys, his very heart. A heart full of grace. You want to see an example of how to live like grace? Sit down, open up the Gospels, and read. That man was full of grace. Gosh, what a Savior. How blessed we are. 23. Sometimes I just lose sight of it, but God always goes, no problem. God, I think I've been absent. No problem. Come on in. Verse 23. A man's pride. Whoops. That's pretty plain, right? A man's what? Now, is pride like the opposite of humbleness and humility? Yeah. A man's pride will bring him low. But the humble in spirit will retain honor. A man's pride is what brings him down. It's not God. It's not God letting him down. The adversary sets people up. And he sets people up through their emotions, their thoughts, and the decisions they make. And pride causes havoc in a person's life. But humbleness and meekness to God
and to one another brings great joy and riches. I mean, you just continue to read through Proverbs, you'd find more than what we're looking at. But let's go to James now, chapter 4. Humility, obedience. Didn't get that far enough yet. The way we guard our hearts so that our heart can be full of love and grace is a continual effort of putting God's words, thoughts, and directions into manifestation in our life. That sounded really big, didn't it? But it's real simple. We walk what God tells us to walk. We love like God tells us to love. We forgive like God tells us to forgive. It's not that hard most of the time. Okay, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Submit to who? Submit to God. But what if you just don't want to do what God's asking you to do? Well, I think there's a verse in Romans chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to put on what God's thinking in your thinking. You have to convince yourself. Okay, what God says is better than what I say. That's humility. And then God transforms you. Then he does that transformation that makes your heart rich and full. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay, now look at this. Seriously. Step one. What's step one? Submit to who? And then who's going to flee? Are you going to have to make him flee? No, because you're submitting to God, and God takes care of the battle. But if we don't submit to God, if we decide, well, I'm going to take him on myself, or, you know, I know enough to rebuke this bird, and I know what he's up to, you're already going down the exit road. No. We submit to God, and we do what God tells us to do, and the adversary flees. You know why? Because the light of God's word is more powerful than anything he can do. And when we're shining the light forth from our hearts with humility, love, grace, mercy, peace, he can't stand to stay in the same room we're in. He can't stand that kind of light. He's darkness. Okay, sorry. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Can't be double-minded. One minute you're going to be hot for God, the next minute you're not. Don't work too well that way, guys. Can't be double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Even when you blow it, even when your heart's not so pure, and your mind isn't under control, and you maybe are a little having a down day, or I call them a small pity party. I don't like to go to big ones anymore. They embarrass me. I wake up and go, that was a big pity party, Vicki. But you know what? Sometimes we are gloomy. Sometimes we are hit with those emotions. But those emotions are subject to who? God. And that's where we should take them. Let's go to 1 Peter. You guys getting this? You know, we have such a great resource that God has given us, this beautiful, wonderful heart of our new nature, the grace of God living and thriving in our being. And yet sometimes we can be so mean to each other. And sometimes, you know, it's like you just don't want to admit that maybe you're part of the problem. And just forgive that person. You know? Sometimes we just get caught up in the things of this world like that.
And then we realize what we're doing, and then we turn around, and God is always right there. But we don't want to get caught up. We want to do what the Word's telling us to do, what we're reading today, right? So that the grace can abound in our own lives towards each other. 1 Peter 5, did I say? Okay, it is. 1 Peter 5. I just said it. Verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. What? Yes, that's what it says. It is in there. Yes, all of you. Uh-oh, that's everybody in the room, isn't it? Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with what? For God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares for him, for he cares for you. Practically, here's some things, guys. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Steadfast in what? The faith. Knowing that some sufferings are for experienced by your brotherhood in this world, but may the God of grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. We are going to have times when we go through things, when we get our little behinds kicked spiritually. But you know what? When you turn back to God, when you acknowledge God again in the situation, and you really are like, God, help me. You know what it says? He's right there. God of all grace, who called us to eternal glory, he's there to comfort us, to strengthen us, to establish us, to settle our hearts down. That's the kind of God we have. And that is the stuff that we need to be so aware of, to guard and protect our hearts. And the way we do it is staying humble to God, be obedient to his word, and speak the truth in love. That's how this all flows in a practical sense from our lives. Look at Romans. Because I want to hit this little thing before I close here about a little bit about obedience. It's huge. It's really huge. Romans chapter 5. You know, I've had Christians say to me, you know, the most important thing to do is to love. That's it. It's all about love. We just love each other and that's it. Well, that ain't it. That is a big part of it. But there are other things that equal love. And a lot of times people don't understand that being obedient is loving. You know, and helping someone who's having a problem in an area that they need some guidance in, if God works in your heart to do that, that is love. And I think we have to realize the importance of it. So I want to look at this one verse, man. If this doesn't get it, I don't know what would. Let's start in verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteousness, act, the free gift, came to all men. One man's righteous act. One man, Jesus Christ, was obedient to the death of the cross. That's how we got reconnected to God. By one man's obedience. His acts. By one man's obedience. Disobedience. One man disobeyed God. And people were condemned. The connection with God was gone. Don't think that one thing you do or don't do isn't important to God. And not just to God, but to every person that your life touches. One man disobeyed, touched all of our lives. We don't even know him. Never saw the guy.
never knew what he looked like. All I know is what God's word said, Adam. One man, Jesus Christ. Never saw him. Kind of can imagine what he looks like. Think he's beautiful, don't you? No matter what he looks like. Obedience. One man. Look at the millions of people because of that one man's obedience to God. He did what God asked him to do. That's what obedience is. Let's make it simple. You do what God asks you to do. That's obedience. And if you don't think that matters in your life or the people's lives that you're around, you need to have a serious talk with God after this fellowship. Because it does make a difference. Look at the example God left in his word to show us what a big difference it does make. God has a reason for what he says, where he says it, how he says it, when he says it, when he says it. Right?
Right.
Go to Paul, 2 Corinthians. Cannot do this without going to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10, I'm sorry. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exhausts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That is what we need to do. We need to be ready to bring every thought we have to the obedience of Christ. Look at the life of Jesus Christ. If you have a doubt in what you're doing or why you're doing it, or you know in your heart there's something ain't fitting, go to the Word. Go to God. Many times God will just tell you. Other times He wants you to see the Word. He wants you to be in the Word. I'd like to give you guys kind of an assignment. I mean, you know, you don't have to. I'm not your teacher. I'm not going to grade you. But I think in order to really get the greatness of what I'm trying to share with you, you got to go to the Word. I think we want to be able to practically apply the things that God has given us, don't we? I want grace to emanate from my heart. I want forgiveness, love, joy to be the thing that people see when they see me. So if you have the time, or if you want to take the time, I really would like for you guys to go to the book of Ephesians and read chapter 4, and the book of Colossians and read chapter 3. Because there are such great practical things that God gives us to do to be able to see how the fruit in our life should look. And you got to take a checkup from the neck up. All of us do from time to time. And you read that thing, and you know what? If you read those two chapters, you go, yeah, I'm on. Great. Congratulations. Hallelujah, really. But if there's a couple of things in there that you're missing, man, just humble yourself before God. God, show me how to do this better. Show me how. Because you know what? We can't do anything of ourselves. Not one thing. And don't ever let anybody tell you anything different. In and of ourselves, we can do nothing. But with that new nature within us and God's guidance and direction, we can do anything God asks us to do. Because that's the kind of heart He gave us. So bless you. That's what I wanted to share. And hallelujah.